Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Yuma Daf Yud Ches. We are at the Mishnah, which is 12 lines from the top of the Amud. We learned that the Kohen Gadol went through the Prisha procedure 7 days before Yom Kippur. Now, what transpired during those 7 days? Says the Mishnah, most Shrulo Zikanim, they handed over to him, to the Kohen Gadol, some elders, Mizikne Bezdin, from the elders of Bezdin. We assume they're Talmid HaChamim, since they were on Bezdin. And actually, the Gemara Kedushin says that the term Zakin denotes Chachma, Ein Zakin El Mishakon Chachma. So we have some Talmid HaChamim keeping him company and preparing him for the Avodah Yom Kippur. V'koyron lefanav v'seder yom, they read before him from the Seder Hayom, the Psukim in Parshas Achrei Mois, which describes the Karbanos of Yom Kippur in greater detail. And of course, we're speaking during the time in Beis Hamidrash that there was not yet Torah Shebaal Peh recorded, in which case they would take out a Sefer Torah, read from the Sefer Torah, and expound on it and explain to him all the details, all the halachas involving the Avodah of Yom Kippur. V'oimrim lo, they turn to him and they address him as follows. Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master, Kohen Gadol. Why don't you yourself read the psukim with your own mouth? Now, although we know Shemeya Ko'ina, so when he listens to them, it's as though he's reading, but you know, the Gemara in Erevin speaks about the maila of a person actually reading the Torah with his own mouth, expressing it bepeh. In fact, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva to Yeshiva Bachar, who would learn with the Chavrus, and he says, although Shemeya Ko'ina, but you should alternate. At times you should say the Gemara, at times your friend should say the Gemara. There's a mila in actually saying and expressing it, adds to clarity and to absorption of the material. So I tell Kohen Gadol, Kratu Bapicha, why don't you read the Psukim? Shema Shachachta, perhaps you forgot the material. Oy Shema Loilomata, or perhaps you never actually learned these Psukim. How is that? The Gemara would tell us, we're speaking during the time of the second Beis Hamidrash, in which case they would buy their way into the position, and many of them were unlearned fellows. So either you're a Talmud Chacham and you forgot, like it just happens to anybody, forgets their learning, or perhaps you never learned in the first place, go ahead and get involved, read the Psukim. So this happened throughout the 7 days of Prisha, comes Erev Yom Kippurim Shacharis, Erev Yom Kippur in the morning, Mamidin Oiseh B'Shar Mizrach, they position him in the Shar HaMizrach, some say this is Shar Nikner. The others say this is the Shar of the Harabais. In any case, it's the Eastern Shar in the Beis Hamikdash. And they make a parade, an animal parade. Umavir and Lafonov, they bring before him Parim, Ve'elim Ukvasim, and the Mashal says, it was actually, these were actually those very same Karbonis that he's going to bring tomorrow. So we bring them in front of him. Kadeshi, he makir v'rogu b'avoidus, that he's comfortable, and he's makir, he recognizes, he's familiar with what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, oh, this is the par, I'm going to shech tomorrow, and he pays attention, how to do the shechita, and all the halachis of the avoda, which are going to involve these behemoths. So we create this parade in front of him to get him familiar and comfortable with tomorrow's avoda. Kol shiva sayam, throughout those 7 days, lo yehoyu moin in mimenu machl mishta. We would not withhold any food or drink. You can eat to his heart's content. Erev Yom Kippur M'chashech, but Erev Yom Kippur, close to nightfall, we had a special restriction. Lo yehoyu manichin oisoy lechel harber. We would not allow him to eat a lot. Why? B'pnei sha'am machal. Because eating too much, maybe a sashena can precipitate sleep, can make him drowsy, and we don't want him to fall asleep. We want to keep him up the entire night so that there is an absolute avoidance of any possible tumas keri. Says Rashi, around two-thirds down the Amud, Masnisen, Ishi Adoini, my master. And they tell him, please take a look at the Chumash and read the Psukim, Kerin Lefano B'Seid V'Aryayim, Pashas Achrimois, V'Chein Kol Sheva Sayam. Rashi maintains that the reading of the Psukim and explaining the Halachos took place throughout all 7 days. Whether it was so much material, or whether they just reviewed it over and over, so that he's clear and proficient regarding every detail. On Erev Yom Kippur, they made this parade of the animals. Kadeshi Makir says Rashi is boinim b'mehemus hoyvus lefanav. He placed close attention to the animals before him. Losis eliboy bilchos edaryoim to make him mindful regarding the halachos of the avoda coming tomorrow. Continues the Gemara, well, they tell the Kohen Gadol, take a look at the Pesukah and read it yourself. Why? One of two. Either you learned, but perhaps you forgot. It happens to all of us. Or perhaps you never learned. Bishleim es shem es shachach l'chai. You understand? Perhaps you forgot. L'chai, that makes sense. Elo shem aloy lomad. But to tell him, well, read it, perhaps you haven't learned? What do you mean? He never learned Chumash. Mimok minon kai gavna. Do we appoint a Kohen Gadol who is totally an Amaretz? Vatani, we learned in a Braisa that a Kohen Gadol is meant to be endowed, is meant to possess many, many great attributes. Certainly, he's meant to be a Talmud Chacham. Vatanya, Vakohen Hagadol mi echav, the Kohen Gadol who is greater than his fellow Kohanim. Why does the pasuk refer to him in this manner rather than just saying Kohen Hagadol who is the descendant of the previous Kohen Gadol? Torah is teaching us that he has to have many, many positive attributes, whether character traits or whether just other things which lend chashivas to him and put him a cut above the rest. Shehei gadol mi'echav, he should be greater than his fellow kohanim, b'koyach, physically powerful, b'noy, he should be handsome, chachma, wise, full of chachmas Torah, u'ba'osher, and wealthy. All these things lend to leadership. He's b'koyach, physically strong, he's handsome, that's why people are drawn to him, b'chachma, talmud chachma, of course, that's a requirement, u'ba'osher, wealth gives power. This way he's able to do things on his own. He doesn't have to seek assistance all the time. That lends to the feeling of power and adds respect and prestige to the position. So these are requirements for the Kohen Gadol. Acherim Oirim, others interpret as follows. Menayishim Einloi. How do we know that the Kohen Gadol, if he doesn't have any money? She'echav HaKohanim Megdadlun Oisei. His fellow Kohanim give him money and make him wealthy. What do we learn from there? His gedula should come, if necessary, should come even from his brothers, from his fellow Kohanim. They give him money to make him wealthy. There's a Medrash Tanchuma that darshens the hey. Hakoyin ha-gadol, the hey is referring to five ma'alos that the Kohen Gadol has over everybody else. What's the fifth one? We only have four now. Gemara Koyach, Noi, Chachman, Oisher. So one of the first him say, the Marzu, he says, referring to age. He's meant to be an older fellow, which lends to prestige and is appropriate for this type of position. Amar Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, I'll answer the Kasha. The Kasha was, well, if the Kohen Gadol is meant to be a Chacham, how can we suggest that he never learned Chumash? Like Kasha, the answer is very simple. It depends at what point in history we're speaking. During the first base of Hamikdash, where the Kohanim Gadol were tzaddikim and fitting for the job, then certainly they learned the Chumash, but perhaps they forgot. Shema Shochach is referring to them. Kan b'migdash sheni, however, during the second base of Hamikdash, where they used to buy their way into the position. Over there, it can very well be that he never learned. He was a complete and total Amaretz. Now, of course, we're not speaking necessarily that he was a tzaddiki, but he wasn't really right for the position. It was simply bought off monetarily. The Omer of Asi. Tarkava de Dinri. Three kav of dinar. Tarkava is trei vakav. So in total, three kav of gold coins. A huge amount. Ayla le Marta bas Bises. This widow, Marta bas Bises, offered, paid up to Yanai, Liyanai Malka, to Yanai HaMelech, in order to procure the Kohen Gadol position for her husband, al de ukme or ad de ukme li Yeshua ben Gamla, until he appointed her husband Yeshua ben Gamla b'kahani Ravri as a Kohen Gadol. We see they used to buy off the position with money, and not necessarily was the Kohen Gadol a fellow endowed with all these milus and all these tenoim denoted in the Braisa. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to. During the second Beis Hamikdash, we had lots of these. In fact, the Gemara earlier tells us that they wouldn't even survive through the year. Not necessarily they die in the Kodesh HaKadosh, because they weren't stoking, but they weren't really fitting for the job. They weren't really ready for this position. And they wouldn't make it through the year. They have to constantly reappoint on an annual basis. Now, of course, although L'chatchil, Kohen Gadol is meant to have all these malos, but the Eved, these things aren't me'akev, as we find. They were completely kosher. Kohanim Gedolim, although the position was purchased. Let's take a look at Rashi once again. It would be around 15 lines from the bottom of the Amid. It says, Rashi, b'migdash rishon, then the Kohanim were really roy. They were appropriate for that. It was appropriate for them to be appointed. Migdash rishon lo yimidu ala al pi ha-Torah. They went according to Torah, Kohanim u'ganim. Fitting Kohanim who had all these milas. However, doing Migdash sheni, they would buy off the position. They would go to the king, offer him the highest bidder, would get the position. Marta bas Baisu, says Rashi, was an Alman Ashira, a wealthy Alman. The Kitcha Yeshua ben Gamla was Makadish, this Isha. Now, although he was a Kohen can marry an Almana. He was Makadisher. And then what happened? Venosna Momoin Liana Melach. She paid off the king. Umino Lias Kohen Gadol. The question is, how could a Kohen Gadol marry an Almana? Obvious Kasha. Rashi is going to answer that question. What happened was, he was Mekadisher. They got engaged when he was not yet a Kohen Gadol, just a plain Kohen. Then she took a liking to him. She decided, you know what, I want to get him the Kohen Gadol position. She went over to Yanai, offered him tons of money to appoint him Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara in Yevamos, we actually have a riot from this story. What is a Shiloh? What happens if a Kohen Hedjit is Mekadish in Almona and then he's appointed Kohen Gadol. He's upgraded to Kohen Gadol and Kohen Gadol can't marry an Almon. The Gemara brings a riot from this story. It seems it's mutter. As long as the condition took place when he was still a Kohen Hedjit. That's okay. She was already his wife. She was already his. So although afterwards he was appointed Kohen Gadol, he can do Nisurim and complete the marriage. Now, there's an interesting question regarding the historical context of the story. We have Marta bas Baisus, who the Gemara in Gittin places at the end of the Bayesheni area. She was very wealthy, and then she had those figs. The whole story in the time of the Churban, she was around during the end of the Bayesheni. Yalai HaMelech, on the other hand, was in a much earlier period. He killed out all the Kohanim in the time of Shimon Meshatach, way earlier. So Tosis over here says apparently we're dealing with two Yanei Melachs. He means another right, because the first Yanei Melach was himself a Kohen Gadol. He pointed himself as a Kohen Gadol. So it's inconceivable that he would just give over the position to Yeshua ben Gamla. So apparently that was first Yanei Melach. Then we have another Yanei Melach who lived at the end of the bias. Now is what the Gemara here is discussing. There's another kasher as per Yeshua ben Gamla. This is as Yishanim asks, because in the Gemara Barabasra we find great praise heaped upon Yeshua ben Gamla. He arranged all the he made the takana that there should be chadorim yeshivas for children, which was something that was not around earlier. Gemara says that until then, a father would teach his son. But let's say it didn't work out, and the kid just didn't have a teacher. Shimon Gamla was masaking a whole system of Talmudei Torah, which carried on until today. The Gemara says, it's not for him, Torah would have been forgotten from Yisrael. So he was a great man, and here we seem to put him in a negative light. He bought off the position of Kohen Gadol, so perhaps he didn't know that his wife took care of it for him. Or Teshanim says that even though he's a great man, but the other Kohanim were more suitable for position of Kohen Gadol. They were Bali Torah v'chashuvin mimenu uru'uyin limonis yeser. So although he was perhaps a great man, but when it comes to Chachma, Tamit Chachamim, the other ones were greater, and he should have deferred to them. That's one pshat. Another pshat, I think the Ritva says, that he was appointed Kohen Gadol, and afterwards he rose to greater heights, and he became what he became. The Gemara simply describing the beginning of the process. Okay, in any case, some say it was actually a different Yeshua ben Gamla to answer this kasha. We have one Yeshua ben Gamla who's very much praised in the Gemara of Basra. This is a different Yeshua ben Gamla. Okay, so we have many Yanei Melechs, many Yeshua ben Gamlas. Continues the Gemara. Erev Yom Kippurim Shachris. So throughout the 7 days, they would teach him the halachos. Come Erev Yom Kippur, they bring all the animals and parade it in front of him. The Mishnah tells us, Parim ve'elam ukvasim, cows, rams, sheep. What about goats, which were also part of the Avoid of Yom Kippur? We have a brisa which adds that as well. Tana, afasa'irim. Goats as well were added to the mix and paraded in front of the kohen. V'tana didan, my time ole tana se'irim. Why is it that our Tana omitted any mention of se'irim? There was a reason. It was done purposely. Kivan da'al chet ka'asu. Let's remember that se'irim were meant to address the averus of Kal Yisrael. Sarchata, sar la'azazel, certainly. So if you would see those animals, chol shadati, you would get discouraged, get depressed. Wow, look what I have to deal with. Look what I'm up against, the averus of Kal Yisrael. I'm in charge of bringing kapara. It's too big. It's greater than me. He's going to be discouraged, lose his self-confidence, and therefore we don't want to do that. We don't want to bring this Irim and have him see them. Iyachi parnam yal chetudasi. What about the par? That's also coming to address his own averus, his fellow kohanim's averus. It's also an avera-related carbon. So why is it okay for him to see that? He says, what is the difference? Par, regarding the par, kiven de olav val echav hakahanam de'asi. Since it's coming to address whose averus? His own, olav, and his fellow kohanim. Over there, there's no concern of chol shadate. You know why? Because it's within his control to ensure that there are no averus done. Be'echav ha'kahanim. Listen to this. Be'echav ha'kahanim. If amongst his fellow kohanim there would be something inappropriate, he would know about it and he would rectify it. That's a true leader in Klal Yisrael. Be'echav ha'kahanim. Ika inish. The isbe malsa. There would be anybody amongst his fellow kohanim who's involved in something inappropriate. Meida yadalei. Kohen Gadol would certainly be aware of it. And it would bring him to tshuva. Kohen Gadol would influence his fellow, encourage him to do tshuva. You see, Kohen Gadol was around in the Beis HaMidrash 365, 24/7, the whole year he was there. So you would see the Kohanim coming and going, and you could just take a look at them and see where they're holding. If they're slackening off, and he would get them back into spiritual shape. So he would see exactly what's going on. Also, as Machabursa pointed out, he would see the karbanis that they were bringing. He'd see the kohen bringing a chatas. He would take a closer look and see what's going on there. In any case, he was intimately aware and familiar with what was going on in their private lives and ensure that they do tshuva. That was a true leader, a kohen gadol, who would make sure that his kohanim would be on the right track. So that was in his control, himself, his family's kehanim. So taking a look at the par would not discourage him. And the kasha is, why then do you need a par if everybody did tshuva? The answer is very simple, because there are some averis, of course, which need several phases of tshuva. The first of which being tshuva, and then we have other types of phases, and Yom Kippur, with the karbonis burn Yom Kippur, most of the time would be a completion. They would apply the last, that would consider the last phase in the kapara procedure. So in any case, when it comes to himself and his family and his kehanim, there's no concern, because he certainly made sure everybody's on the right track. B'kul Yisrael, however, when it comes to all of Yisrael, how's he meant to know what's going on amongst the Yisrael on the other side of the world? Lo yada, he had no idea, and therefore he's concerned. He'll take a look at the story. He says, wow, look what I'm up against, so many averis, and it's all upon me. I have to take care of it, bring kapara. Chol shodait. Amar Avina, Hainu Damra Inshi. It is actually a common phrase, a common saying, in a negative light. Ibar Achsech, if the son of your sister, meaning your nephew, is Dailahav, he's a cop, a policeman, a tax collector, Chazi, you just make sure, Bishuka, in the marketplace, outside in the street, Kamei, before this fellow, Loi Sachlev, don't pass by this fellow. And Rashi explains, somebody in the family knows what's going on. He knows exactly where you're holding financially, and he might actually use his knowledge to your detriment. Might try to extort some bribes from you. So being familiar isn't something necessarily positive. In fact, that's in negative light. Over here, we're going to use it in a positive light as well, that a leader who's intricately familiar with the goings-on amongst his charges should very well know what's going on and influence them to do good, to do tshuva. Considering the Gemara, Kol Shivas Hayom Lo Yom Moinim V'chu. Mishnah tells us, throughout the 7 days, we wouldn't withhold any food or drink he could eat to his heart's content, except when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur. Now we have a special menu prepared for him. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer, Ma'achilin Oisoi, on Erev Yom Kippur we'd feed him in the following. Slosoi, soilus, that's the fine flour, some type of slosoi recipe, whether it's straight or diluted with water, some type of formula of a fine flour, ubates him with eggs, kedei lamas masoi, in order to loosen up his system, to clean him out, so that tomorrow Yom Kippur he'll be undistracted with any bodily needs. Amr Lloyd Chacham responds to Rabbi Yehuda, Koshken Shatam Aviyah Dechimum. Yeah, sure, you're addressing his physical concern, but this can have actually a very detrimental spiritual effect. It can bring him to warmth and to carry. Let's take a look at Rashi on the first wide line. Machil nois, Erev Yom Kippur Meshachris, they feed him slosois, they find flowers, ubeits him and eggs. K'dei l'masmeis achila shebameyav, to loosen up any food within his system. L'shal shaloi, shalit starach l'nkov l'machas, to clean him out, so that he's not distracted tomorrow. Some actually learn the other way around. L'masmeis means to harden things up, to stiffen him up, so that he is not busy tomorrow. L'idei chimum, the Chacham responded that spiritually it can have a bad effect. It can bring him to chimum shal keri, the increase of zera, which can bring the chimum, which is something we want to keep away, certainly at this point of the year. Tanya Sumchas Omar Meshurme. Ein Machil Noisoi. On Yom Kippur, we also withhold the following things. We don't feed him the following list. Loi Avi. So these are three items. Al Bezid, which the Gemara will itemize for us. Va'amrilo, some say Loi Avavi, Vish Omrim. In addition to that, afloy yayin lavan, we don't give him white wine. And the reason, again, is we don't want to create a situation where he might end up becoming tummy with tumaskeri, which can be generated by these items. So although generally speaking throughout the year, a person doesn't have to refrain from these things, but over here we took extra precautions in preparation for the avoid of Yom Kippur. Loy abi, what's that? Olive stands for estrig, like estrig. He wouldn't need estrig on Erev Yom Kippur, but like Beitzim, that's the bays. V'lo yayin yashin, aged wine. V'amilo samseg, like avavi, what's that? Like estrig, that's the olive. V'lo beitzim, v'lo basar shomen, fatty meat. V'lo yayin yashin, aged wine. V'yish oimim, af lo yayin lovon, white wine as well. V'nish ayayin, lovon, maybe it's adnei tumah, can generate tumah. So this is regarding Kohen Gadol and Erev Yom Kippur. Throughout the previous 6 days, open free menu. Comes to Erev Yom Kippur, we have a very restricted menu, slosis and beitzim to clean him out, and then we restrict him from partaking in all these items, which can theoretically bring about tumaskim. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. This isn't really linked to the previous Gemara, but it's related somewhat. We're speaking about a Zav. Now, a Zav, we had an omission. The first Re'ia is metamic, regardless of whether it was a natural phenomenon or was aidei oines. For instance, if it was generated, precipitated through overexertion, overeating, even if it's considered re'ia aidei oines, he is tamei, provided we're speaking about the first experience. But the second re'ia, which is called re'ias zoiv, in that case, even if you can attribute it to overeating, overexertion, he will still be tamei. Tanu Rabban, zov, regarding the second re'ia of the zov, we can attribute it, if it makes sense, we attribute it to overeating, and we consider it an unnatural experience, in which case it's not tum. So overeating, likewise, we can attribute it to other types of foods, even if it's just normal quantity, but if it's a certain type of food, which we know has the capacity to generate this ziva, this keri material, we can link it to that, in which case it's called Irias Oines, and he is Tar. Now, once the Zav has been established as a Zav. He had three Re'ios, in which case he has to complete Shiva Nikim. Just like an Isha is a Zav, has to count 7 clean days. This Zav fellow has to count 7 clean days. Now, throughout those 7 days, we want to try to make sure that he remains clean. Otherwise, it's going to be Soyser, the Shiva Nikim. If he sees any sort of a Re'ia, any day throughout those 7 days, it's going to cancel out the entire sequence. So we take extra precautions and we keep him away from certain foods. Elazar ben Pinchas, Oymer Shom Yudah ben Besir. Ein Machilin Oysek, throughout those 7 days, we don't feed him. Loi Chagvi, Vloi Gavam, the Gemara soon will atomize this. Vloi Kol Dvarim, Hamavian De Tum. What is this? Loi Chagvi, Loi Cholov, milk, Vloi Gvina cheese, Loi Beitza, eggs, Loi Yayin, nor wine. Vloi Gavam, what's that? Make grease and shall pull. Pull is a bean, grease on the crushed pulls. So the Gimel stands for the May grease and the soup, the juice from these crushed beans. That's the Gimel. We have the Beis and the Mem remaining. Beis is Ubasar Shaman, fatty meat. Umurias, that's the brine dripping from the fish. V'lokol Dvarim, Amavi, they tum, anything that can bring tumma. What is that coming to include? Lasuye Mai, including what? Lasuye, to include another list. Hadtan Rabban. Chamisha Dvarim, Mavim, Esa'od, they tumma. The following five can generate tumma. Eloin Ashum, garlic, Vashach lime, cress. V'chalag luga is some sort of plant, v'abait some eggs, v'agarger some other sort of plant. Now the kasha, the obvious kasha is, asked by Tosfos Shanim, is why is it that when it comes to Zav, we offer this comprehensive list? Chagvi, gavam, all these things, which are not listed by the Kohen Gadol on Erev Yom Kippur, we give a very limited list of abbi, abavi, no more than four or five things. Said Tosfos Shanim, we're not so machmer by the Kohen Gadol Erev Yom Kippur, which sounds pretty interesting because usually we are machmer very much. We take all these extra precautions to ensure that it remains tzar. So the Sefer Siach Yitzchak says, perhaps what Tosfos Shanim means is that the Zav, who's already experienced Ziva, he's already in a weakened state. His body has already been weakened by all this Ziva and Rias. There's more room for concern that perhaps any sort of these foods will trigger this type of reaction and generate a ziva, something which is not necessarily concerned by your typical Kohen Gadol. And over there, we're only going to be careful from certain types of food mentioned earlier. Okay, once we mentioned garger, the Gemara will explain as follows. V'yotza echad al-asode l'lakid eris. Of v'yetza echad al-asode l'lakid eris v'pasuk in malach. So a fellow went out to the soda to collect these eris. What is eris? Tanim yishmeid rab meir is a garger, it's referring to garger. Why is it called Oiris? Loma nikro shman Oiris, Sheme Iris is Hanayim. They have the ability to brighten one's eyesight. Amar Afuna, Garger, this Garger material, Im Yachal Oichloi Oichloi. If you have the ability to eat it, fine, go ahead and eat it, it's healthy. If I'm la, but if you can't eat it, at least Ma'avira al Gabi Einav, he should pass it by his eyes, and even that could have a positive effect on his eyesight. Papa Bigargira Matsrinah. What type of garger are we referring to? The one Matsrinah, which grows at the edge of the garden and is uninhibited by competing plants around it. So it has lots of room to grow and lots of nutrients to sustain it. So it's a healthy garger which has that ability. And this halacha is actually brought in halacha, although in a different version. Achsanoi. Somebody who's a guest in somebody else's house. He should refrain from eating eggs. He shouldn't eat eggs and then sleep on the balabayas' talis. Rashi says this will be something that he'll wear during the day. And due to the fact that this guest ate some beitzim, it might actually precipitate a carry experience, which the balabayas will notice on his talis when he wears it during the day. And It's a gnus, it's something inappropriate. We discourage this. In fact, in Allah, it's brought in a different version. We're speaking about a married couple. They should not engage in tashmish on a sheet of the host, because again, the remnants of that experience can be something inappropriate if noticed by the balabais. So therefore, they should do it only on some other material, not directly on the balabais' sheet. Continues the Gemara, Rav ki makla ledarshish. Now the Gemara here will describe a very interesting phenomenon involving Talmid HaChamim, which demonstrate their utmost concern and the precautions, the unbelievable precautions they would take in order to avoid any sort of slight involvement with something inappropriate, inappropriate actions or thoughts. Rav, listen to this. Rav, when he came, Kimakla the Darshish, when he came to the town of Darshish, Machris, he would announce as follows. He put an ad in the paper. Man Havilyam, who's going to marry me for this day or for these days, as long as I'm here? He did not want to be without a wife, because that can generate inappropriate thoughts. Being with a wife close by, it lessens the fantasy involved and makes it more real and lessens the yitzhar. Rav Nachman kadmakla l'shachantziv. Likewise, Rav Nachman, when he came to Shachantziv, when he would do that on a regular basis, Rashi says, they would visit these towns on a regular basis. This was their practice. Machas, he too would announce, Man havya liyayma, who's going to marry me for today? And then, of course, they would separate and go back to his wife at home. Now, just stop for a moment. It seems a bit puzzling that these people of great stature, such tzaddikim, would be concerned about this type of petty, petty desires, which we assume was beyond them. They were way above these things. So there are several approaches. Machan Rus and Mechel Samar said a very nice shot, based on the Gemara in Kedushin of Peyalf. We find that the Talmid Chachamim were out to teach a lesson. They were trying to instruct the general populations as to the importance to take this thing seriously. A person has a very powerful desire, and one should never trust himself. In fact, the Gemara at the end of Kedushin of Peyalf discusses the tzaddikim would say, well, don't trust me with my daughter-in-law. Don't trust me with this one, which would seem to be inappropriate and not really befitting their high madrega. But the point was to demonstrate the importance of, not trusting oneself. One has a very powerful yetzer, powerful desire, a meshicha to these things. And where Makkah says, Mishnah's Makkah says, that these are things that the yetzer is mecham dason, has a tremendous pull and desire to. So that was the point of these tzaddikim, to highlight the importance of taking extra precautions to ensure that one is free of any inappropriate behavior. That explains the Gemara here as well. Although Rav and Rav Nachman themselves were perhaps above these concerns, but they would make this public announcement. Look, we're here for a day, we need to be married. And this would drive home the point of how important it was not to trust oneself and one's abilities to go ahead and do anything possible to avoid any sort of interaction with something inappropriate. The Ben Yoyada's approach is a bit different. He says that in these towns of Darshish and Shachnetziv, there were an abundance of bachelors. They had a minute to marry late. First they established their life, established their business, and then time to get married. They didn't like it. Rav and Rav Nachman sought to change that attitude. And they said, look how important it is to be married. This ensures Kedusha and Tahara and a person. I'm even here for one day and already making sure that I'm with a wife. And this would somehow send a subtle message to the inhabitants of Darshish and Shachantziv, hurry up, get your act together. In any case, that was the practice. There would be machriz, who wants to marry me for the day? Says, how could they do that? Vatanya, Blezer, Ben Yaakovim. Lo yisa adam isha v'medina zu. One should never marry an isha in this city. V'yelech v'yisa isha v'medina acheres, and go over to the other city and marry another wife. Shouldn't be married to people all over the place. Shemi yizdavgu zetzazet. Perhaps the offspring of both women will somehow eventually meet up with each other. And unbeknownst to them, they're brothers and sisters. And I'll make a shidduch and get married. If v'nimitza ach noise achayse. It can turn out that a brother will marry a sister. U'mimali kala oilam kulam amzeres. And he's going to fill up the world with amzeres. V'alzenemar u'mala ha'aretz zima. Filling up the world with snus, with mamzerim, it's inappropriate. So how is it that they would come to towns and marry right and left? Amri, the Gemara responds, the Bnei Yeshiva responded, Rabbanon, kala islu. Talmid Chachamim, they're famous, they're known. Everybody knows, this son, he's the son of Rav, he's the son of Rav Nachman. This is his family, this is his children. And therefore there's no concern of misidentifying their offspring. Fine, that addresses that concern. Says the Gemara, but halachically speaking, they still have no benefit. There's no point in doing this. For Amar Rav, Tavu Ali Nasi, an Isha who marriage was proposed to her. Finis Paisa, and she acquiesced, she agreed. Sricha Leishev Shivanakim. Can't marry right away. She has to wait 7 days, make sure she's clean of any dam. We're concerned that perhaps the marriage proposal and the ensuing excitement can generate dam in the Isha, which we call dam chimud, on account of the desire and the excitement. So after agreeing to marriage, she has to wait 7 days and clean herself throughout those 7 days. When Rav arrived in Darshish, it was a one-day affair. Who's going to marry for today? He can't do anything. She has to wait 7 days. So what was the point of this whole arrangement? Answers the Gemara, yeah, they did fulfill Shevanakim. These Rabbanim, Oidui Havu Moidulu. They would announce their intention ahead of time, a week in advance. Mikadim. Earlier, in advance of their arrival, Havu Mekadmi, they would proceed Umishalchi Shluch and send a Shliach. Rav is arriving next week. Who wants to marry him? And whoever agreed would do Shivanakim. By the time Rav arrived, they were tar and available. So that's the first teretz in the Gemara. Vibayisema, another teretz. Yichudi havu miyachtilu. Rashi explains, they only did yichud. They didn't actually engage in tashmish, because that was asur. In order to do that, they have to wait Shivanakim. All they did was yichud. Levi she'ena doima. You can't compare. Mishi yeshli pas besalad. This is like a mashal, a person who has bread in his basket, who has access to food. He stands much higher. Lemish ainli pas besalad, to a person who has no bread in his basket. So although perhaps this fellow who has bread is not actually eating his bread, he has access to the bread. And has a calming effect on him. As opposed to a person who has no access to bread, he's famished, he's hungry, and desperate as well. Which exasperates his hunger, his feeling of hunger. Parallel to our case, where having an Isha close by, even Yichud is enough in a way, because she's accessible, she's close by. So even though in practice, they wouldn't engage in relations and wouldn't generate any children, because of course she was Asr, she had not yet fulfilled the Shivanakim, but as long as there was Yichud, that's considered Pas Basalit. Let's take a look at Rashi. 5 lines from the top of the Amud. Rav ki mikla le darshish. Sham ha'yirog leilach. This was a place that he frequently visited. And this was his practice. He would make this announcement. Man havi l'yom. Yesh isha shetinasi l'yom ishev z'akev kan. Is anybody willing to marry me during these days? V'teitzlach al mikan. And afterwards, we're going to separate. And the Gemara asks, but doing so can create confusion regarding their children. Ze'etzel ze ben sheyod m'dina zu. A son from this town and a daughter from this town can end up meeting each other and getting married without knowing the brothers and sisters. Rabbanon kol islu ushmam korel b'neim. Everybody knows this is the Talmud Chachma's child. This is Rav's child. This is Rav Nachman's child, and there's no room for confusion. Says Rabbi, 1 second. Tzricha leishiv shivanakim meyoyim shenesratzis. From that day that she agreed to get married, she has to clean herself, keep herself clean for 7 days. Shema machmas chimud ras adam. Perhaps, as a result of this excitement and desire, she actually experienced dam. First teretz was okay, so they announced it ahead of time. By the time Rav or Rav Nachman arrived, they were ready tar. Second teretz was, you're right, there was no tashmish. Yichudi ba'alma. Ve'en is kokin land. Elashan nosu isha. Ein mis ave k'misha ein isha. Rashi explains, yichud is enough because the fact is they're married, and it makes it more real, it reduces the fantasy effect, and the desire subsides. And that was the point of Rav doing it, in order to avoid the temptation to her. Ask Tosfos, what do you mean? If Bia is Aser, then what type of Pas Basali is it here? What type of acts? There's no accessibility. Why is it going to lower the temptation of the Yetzirah? Answers to this, Yeshleima, Kivan the Shor Lachar Zayin Pas Basali Kunabe. Since she'll be available in 7 days' time, that itself has a calming effect. Then there is another kasha. How is Yichud Mutter under these circumstances? We learn in Maseches Ksuvos Daf Dalet that if one marries a new wife and turns out she was a nida upon marriage. Yichud is not allowed in that case. They have to sleep separately. There's a chashash, a yitzahara at that point. And we don't even allow yichud, as opposed to a couple who was already married for a while. Even though the issur is a nida, the Gemara Sanhedrin says we have faith, we trust the husband, the wife, to act appropriately. But when it comes to a new couple, due to the excitement involved, we're concerned about Navera, and we separate them throughout those you made tum. If so, says Tosis, how can they even do yichud with these new wives, who are presumed to be nidos? They're not mutter until 7 days, seven akim. So it's a new wife who is a nida, and yichud is not allowed. So Tosis has two pshat. One pshat, he says, he learns the Gemara differently. The Gemara says, Yichud have a miyach to luhu. It means like this. We had a kasha. We know that halacha is that after agreeing to marriage, the isha has to wait shivan akim. So how can the Talmid HaChacham marry them upon arrival? On the day of arrival, they hadn't yet had the shivan akim. Yichud have a miyach to luhu. What does that mean? It means to say that initially, they told the Noshim, when they made that announcement, who wants to marry me? They didn't say marry me. They say, who wants to be Messiahed with me? Yichud, that's it. No more than Yichud. In which case, Taisa says, the level of excitement won't rise to the level where it would present a concern of Dam Chimud being generated. It was just for Yichud. Therefore, there's no Chashash Dam. There's no Tumah. In which case, it's mutter to do yichud. So the catch 22, being that they sort of tricked them, they said it's only for yichud. So now there's no chashash of any dam being generated. They can be misyachid. In fact, if they choose to have tashmish, that's fine because there's no chashash of chimer at this point, and therefore she's mutter, completely mutter. In which case, there was pas pasalit. It had a calming effect because there was a potential accessibility. She was potentially mutter. Because there's no dam chid with concern. That's why it's a serf shot. And then he says a chiddush. Although the Gemara Suvis maintains that a chas and nakala, newlyweds who are in a state of tumah, must remain separate, that's only for a bachar, the loynosam oilam, the yitzroi toik feitfei. A fellow who's never married, he has a stronger desire, and in that case, we're really concerned. We don't allow yichud. But, says Tosfos, in the case of a person who was previously married, an almoin, or certainly in this case, like Rav and Nachman, who were currently married, their wives were elsewhere. In this case, the Yitzhahara isn't as potent, and even with a new wife, who is a nida, yichud is allowed. That's the second pshat in Tosfos. Okay, let's make a quick summary. We learned about the Kain Gadol throughout the 7 days of Prisha. He'd be instructed the psukim, the halachis of the upcoming avodas in Kippur. Throughout those 7 days, we let him eat to his heart's content, no restrictions. Every Yom Kippur, we changed things a bit. First, we had that parade of the behemoths. According to the Mishnah, there was no seirim. According to the Brisa, there were seirim, he added. And on every Yom Kippur, in the morning, we gave him certain formula, certain recipe to get a system going, and we eliminate certain items from his menu, things which have a concern of generating carry. And the Mishnah concludes that every Yom Kippur, towards nightfall, we would actually minimize his food intake, because food can precipitate drowsiness, and we're concerned about carry being generated throughout the night. We want to keep him up throughout the night, as we're going to see in the next Gemara. Next Mishnah, Masru Ziknei Bezdin Zikn Kuna. Now, throughout all 7 days, these Ziknei Bezdin, the Talmid Chachamim, his instructors, would go ahead, after instructing him somewhat, they would go ahead and pass him on, the Ziknei Kehuna, to the elders of the Kehanim, who were there to teach him the skills of the Chafinas Keteris, how to scoop out the Keteris, which was a great skill. And they brought him up Velu Lalias Beis Aftinas. They brought him up to the upper floor of the Beis Aftinas room, where the Keteris was actually produced. And that was the Keteris shop where they would teach him how to do the Chafinas Keteris. V'hish bi'uhu. It's interesting that the Ziknei Bezdin would actually make a shvur for him. he would make the Shavua, they would do it for him, presumably he would answer, Amen. What was the Shavua about? I'm going to see in a second. V'niftru, and then they took leave, v'ochalahem, and they left. V'amrle, what did the Zikne Bezin tell? Now we know there was a very, very real concern about Tzedukim. You would never know whether or not this Kohen Gadol had his allegiance to the Talmid Chachamim or to the Tzedukim. Perhaps he was a closet Tzeduki. The Tzedukim had their own unique way of doing the Avodah Yom Kippur, specifically regarding the Keturis. They would generate the Anan Keturis outside the Kodesh Kedoshim and bring it in once already smoking. This is in contrast to the Rabbanan, one from Sukkim, that the actual Keturis was placed on the coals once he was already inside the Kodesh Kedoshim. So this is one example of this ongoing dispute between the Chachamim and the Tzedukim. And the Zikne Bezin wanted to ensure that this fellow's heart was properly in place. He was committed to the Talmid Chachamim. So they made a shvua. Ishi Kohen Gadol, v'amrle Ishi Kohen Gadol. Our master, the Kohen Gadol, anu shlichei Bezin. Look, we were sent by Bezin. V'ata shlichein, you're our shliach, to do the Avodah Yom Kippur. U shliach Bezin, and you're also shliach of Bezin. So after this introduction, they tell him like this. Ma'ashbin onu olach, we make a shvua for you. B'mi sheshikin, in the name of Hashem, Hashem who was shikin shmoi b'bayit hazeh, who had his name rested his name in this house, in this Beis HaMikdash. This is a reference to Hashem, who was making a shvua in the name of Hashem. Sheloi tishana dover, mikol ma'asher marn olach. That you don't change anything, don't deviate. In the slightest iota, from all the instructions that we gave you. That was a shvua. And this will ensure that he complies. That's interesting. Farshim asks, well, if he's a tzduki, then in his mind, the way that tzdukim do the k'teris is the right way. And it's rooted in the psukim. It's a mitzvah to do that way. And their perverted minds, they thought that was the right way, that was the mitzvah. So what's the point of making a shvua? To ensure enforcement, to ensure that he doesn't follow the tzedukim. Gemara Shvuas tells us that one cannot make a shvua on top of another shvua. Ein shvua chala al shvua. And all mitzvahs in the Torah are really based on shvua. Because Hashem was mashbia us by Har Sinai to keep the Torah. So we're committed through a shvua, through a promise, to keep all the mitzvahs. You can't add another shvua on top of the previous shvua. So in his mind, if he's a tzduki, and he's committed to do it that way, on account of the Torah's instructions, which involves a shvua. So what's the point of adding another shvua, which can't add itself to the previous shvua? As a matter of fact, it's meaningless. So Mamarav Shach, if you think this fellow is a honest fellow, this fellow is an Erlich Yid, there's no point in making a shvua. If it's Tzduki, then he has a pasuk to support his opinion, and this shvua can undo the pasuk. So one of the first answers, very geschmack, he says, the point of ein shvua, chala al shvua, is learned from a drasha. One shvua is learned from a pasuk, a drasha, tarishu al peh, that one shvua cannot be added to a previous shvua. The tzedukim did not go with tarishu al peh. They followed the actual wording, of the literal wording and meaning of tarishu al ksav. They wouldn't eat hachon on Shabbos because you now have fire in your house on Shabbos. They went after the literal words, literal meaning of the psukim. They didn't hold it a drasha that one shvua can't be added to another shvua. In which case, even according to his opinion, even if he's a tzduki, and the pasuk is instructing him to do the teres in one manner, but once we mashbia him to do it differently, that shvua is effective. He's committed and bound to that shvua. So that was the point of the shvua. In any case, after they confronted him in this manner, which was really in a suspecting manner, they were choishet that perhaps that tzuki, there's no way for them to know. So this was done out of necessity. Who poyer shebeicha? The Kohen Gadol would turn away and begin crying because he was suspected of being a tzuki and he felt bad about it. Vehein poyer shebeicha, and they likewise would turn away, take leave, and cry. They felt bad that they had to resort to this type of measure, this degrading measure. This is a lesson for life. Even a person does need to admonish somebody. Do it with the heart. Do it feeling. And sometimes even cry along. Or the other person, look, I feel bad that I have to address you in this manner. I have no choice. But begin to cry with that person. Continues the Mishnah. What about throughout the night? They kept him up to avoid any possible carry scenario. This fellow was a Talmud Chacham. He would give a drasha, give a whole share on the halacha, seven kippur. If he was a Chacham, but he didn't have anything prepared. Talmud Chachamim darshim in front of them. We had other Talmud Chachamim presenting the shiurim in front of him. That's if he was a high level Kohen Gadol. If he was not a person of high intellectual capacity, he didn't really understand halachas. He was more a chumash person. If a chumash was his forte, kaira, he would read the chumash, he would read the Torah. This is what keep him up. Vimlav, but if he couldn't even read, kaira in the front of, they would read before him. About me kaira in the front of, what type of material would they read in front of him? Things which are interesting and draw his heart and captivate his attention. Be'iyoiv, be'ezra, v'dibra yamim, these svarim which contain interesting content and will keep him focused. Zechayim, kibbutal oimer, pa'amim ha'ari, many times. Karisi, I read in front of the Kohen Gadol, karisi in front of Daniel, which is interesting as well, and served the purpose of keeping him up. Let's take a look at Rashi, which is somewhere in the middle of the Amid. Masnisin, masru azikne bezin, so these elders of Bezin, shakor lefana b'seda yoyim, who taught him the psukim, they handed him over lezikne kahuna. Why? Lelamdoi chafinas akteris, to teach him how to scoop up the teris, which was something that Kohen Gadol had to do. Hamo tell us, Olav Yom HaKippur, Mishnabar, Molei Chofnav, Kederisamim, Vaveda Kashid, Kamon. The more soon will tell us, this is one of the more difficult skills to learn Beis HaMikdash. I need to have extensive training in preparation for Beis HaMikdash, for Yom Kippur. Beis HaTinais, Hayo Oysen as Akteris. Koichin Oysen, Arvin, Samonea. Beis HaTinais, of course, was a family. We described this in Mesechas Shkolim at great length. They were the experts in Akteris. So that was their shop. They would bring up there for his daily prep. V'yish bi'uhu, they would make a shvur for him. Shelo yehi tztuki, l'sakin b'chutz, u'lachz mefnim, not to follow tztuki procedure to prepare the Torah outside the Kodesh HaKodashim and to bring it in. Tamrina b'gemar. Ish yadoyni yao master. So after they accused him, hu poyu shebaycha, he would turn away and start crying, more fires, more explain why. Now, throughout the night, ima yechachem doyrish, dvar halacha, kol leilam kippurim, throughout the entire night. Shelo yishan, v'yirkeri, so that he doesn't fall asleep, and comes to a possible tumas keri. Vim lav chachamu, he's not a chacham, v'yidei lahavim, but he could understand. V'lishmoy dvar halacha, v'ein yidei lidrish, but not to the point that he can actually prepare a drasha. Dosh nalafonav, they speak in front of him. V'yiva be'ezra, why specifically these svarim? Shein dvarim, amshichan salev, these things are interesting, l'shoyman, v'yishenichat fasai, and we'll keep him up. Okay, let's go back again for a quick chazara. We discussed the 7-day May pre-show, where the Kohen Gadol gets intensive and extensive instructions as per the upcoming avodah, the ziknei bezin teach him the halachos, whether it's them reading, or, as the Mishnah says, they tell him to read, perhaps you forgot, perhaps you never learned. We're speaking during the second Beis HaMikdash, where the Kohanim Gadolim were not really fit for the job, they paid their way into the position. So go ahead and read it and become familiar with the psukim and the halachos. We learned about the extensive menu that they would allow throughout the 6 days, but not on every Yom Kippur, where they minimize his food intake. Actually, in the morning they gave him soilus and baits him to clear his system. And then throughout every Yom Kippur, they would keep away certain types of foods which have the ability to generate a possible tumas keri. We find a similar concept by a zav, and we find it during the shivanekiyam of the zav, where certain foods are meant to be kept away to avoid any possible keri experience. We discussed the interesting phenomena of Rav and Rav Nachman, who would marry just for a day or two to avoid any possible desire in Yitzhara. And halachically, how is that possible? Well, either they notify them ahead of time, this way they did shivanekiyam in advance, or only yichud that was performed. And the point is, if there's potential access, that takes away the Yetzirah. And the next mission, we learned that throughout the 7 days of preparation, after learning the halachas, they would pass them on to the ziknei, the kuhuna, who would teach him this skill of scooping up the k'tiris on Yom Kippur. And of course, on Erev Yom Kippur, they would end with the shvua, make sure they're not at tztuki, and they would go through the extensive nusach to ensure his loyalty to the derech of the Chachamim with respect to how to do the Keteres. Everybody walks away crying, feeling bad, but there was no choice. They had to do it to ensure things were done properly throughout the night of Yom Kippur. They keep him up. Either they teach him or he teaches them. This keeps him up throughout the night. All the best. Natzlacha Rav.